Well, all I know is you guys have a whole lot of faith. You're inviting me in sight unseen. And but I tell you, it is a thrill. My heart is just full of joy with the opportunity to get to meet you, to get to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and see this beautiful group that the Lord's brought together tonight from three or four different places. And so so for my old friends, it's good to see you again. And then, of course, for my new friends, I'm blessed to have this privilege. Always come and I know the responsibility that pastor has. Served as a pastor for over 20 years, and now I'm serving pastors as my role at this point in my life. And so for a brother, for a church to invite you in, that is, I consider that an honor and a privilege. And so I just believe God has something really good for us this evening, because He's a good God. Yes. So I just like to pray, and then we're going to get into a message this evening that I've entitled Life Beyond Typecast, and we'll unpack that a little bit more as we go along. Let's pray. Father, my heart is full just of joy this evening. Thank you for the praise team that led us into worship. And we invite your presence here as we've already done, as you inhabit our praises. And God, I ask for your Holy Spirit just to move this evening, to bring your word to us and your ministry to us, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened, that we would be challenged to believe you in greater dimensions for greater gifts that you have stored for us and even within us, that we would evolve and emerge into the fullness of who we can be in Christ Jesus. So I thank you for a good work that you're doing here this evening, and that you've simply given me the opportunity to be part of it. So God, have your way. Do your stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Mark chapter 6 is the preaching passage this evening. And this particular passage is a time that Jesus has come back to his hometown, and he is in his first year of ministry. There have been some unique experiences that have taken place from the time of his fasting in the wilderness to coming down and being baptized in the Jordan and baptized by the Holy Spirit. And there has been new developments that have taken place in his life. And now he comes back to his hometown and, in fact, even his home church. So let's look at this passage and see what the Lord has for us. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Now, when I studied this passage recently, I was curious and also interested why his hometown, and maybe his family, and maybe even his home church, took offense at him. You know, he's responded to God's call, and he stepped out into a new season of his life, and he's faithfully walking it out, and what appears to be this first visit back home since this new life development. He comes to his hometown, and this is the place where Jesus grew up.
Yeah.
This is his home church. You know, maybe Jesus was in children's church in this church. You know, certainly he played out in the streets in this town, and of course he worked in the town. His dad ran the carpenter shop, and people knew him like that. And he comes back, and he's among family, and in many respects, this is home sweet home. His mother, his brothers, his sisters are all on hand.
Yeah.
And he steps into the church to teach. And the people are amazed at his wisdom and power and of the message and the ministry. But they're also offended. Here's a hometown boy that's doing really well, and yet they're offended. And I just have to say, well, why? What's up with that? It appears to me that Jesus has been typecast. Now, you might know that term from acting and theater. It really is that's you've got one role that you can play. You know, we're used to you in that role. We like you in that role. We expect you in that role. And there's no other role for you. That's the role that we're comfortable with. I mean, we know what to expect from you in that role. And sometimes there's also pressure to keep you pegged in that one role that you've had. So if you're outside of that role, it's deemed inappropriate and unacceptable and viewed with contempt. It's offensive. So it has the appearance that Jesus has been typecast. I want to unpack this passage because it's illustrating something about human nature that has the tendency to confine people to their familiar roles in life. And how opposing and how limiting that is when you think about a person developing into the fullness of their purpose and their destiny. And furthermore, there is a tendency for the opinions of other people who want to typecast us, for that to get in our heads. And we begin to keep seeing that as a ceiling for our lives. Here's what I've been. That's what others are expecting of me. And maybe I should just expect that of myself. And it becomes a diabolical box that constricts us and confines us from reaching the fullness of who God created us to be.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate and even a rude reality of relationships at times. So whether it's conscious or unconscious, that works to thwart God's redemptive, developing, and defining process within us. You know this guy? I grew up with Opie Taylor. Did you get that to work? Okay, you might have to dial it down because it may run a little bit long, but at least you guys remember the tune. How many of you know who Opie Taylor is? Raise your hand. All right, all of you people who are over 40. And some of you who at least have seen the reruns, okay? So anyway, he was the face of America, and everybody knew who Opie Taylor was. And of course, his real name is Ron Howard. And so Ron Howard was fixed in this, and everybody knew him then as Opie. And then he came out with a new series in which he was acting in, so you may know him in this one. And that ends up being... can you get that? Yeah, all right. So this is Richie Cunningham. All right. And so when this series came out, you know what the buzz was? Now listen, we know Opie, but we don't think we can ever accept him as Richie Cunningham. We love Opie, and if we look at him, he's always going to be Opie to us. But this was a successful series as well. But there was more in the heart of Ron Howard. And that was that he had a desire to direct. And so he went around Hollywood and he was asking if anyone would give him a shot at directing. He's 23 years old. And what some of you may not know is that he directed some of the Happy Days episodes even back then as even a younger man. But when people looked at him, they saw him as Opie, or they saw him as Richie Cunningham. They couldn't envision him being a director. So they would more or less pat him on the head and say, well, kid, maybe in 15 years or so, somebody will give you a shot at directing, because they could only see him as Opie. Or stretching it, maybe Richie, but never as a director. Well, he ran into a low-budget film director named Roger Corman, and he gave him a shot, and the trade-off was he would be this well-known actor acting in this low-budget film, and the trade-off was he would get a chance to direct that film. Well, Grand Theft Auto exceeded everyone's expectations at the box office. And then he had other offers. And so he had the film of Splash and Cocoon and Apollo 13. And then in 2002, he won an Oscar for being Best Director of A Beautiful Mind. And that picture won Best Picture of the Year. You see, sometimes people see us as what we've been, and they cannot ever envision us as what is in us. And God is the one who calls other things out of us and will not allow us to get stifled and stuck with what we've been. And how important it is not to take other people's opinions that will confine us into the roles, the only roles that they've ever known us. But this is what's happening with Jesus and how common that is. So Jesus back in his hometown, back in his home church, and people are offended. I want to look deeply now into what I'm going to call the content of the typecast mindset. What's going on in people who are offended when things begin to change for you, when you begin to evolve into other dimensions of what God created you to be? So here's the first one. Hey, you're different. Jesus, you're different than the way that we've known you. Listen, we know you as a kid in this town. You were a teen in this town. You've been a man in this town. We know you working at the carpenter shop. Yeah, you guys made good chairs and tables. We bought some. We've got some of those in our house. That's good stuff. You're good at being a carpenter. But now you're different. Now Jesus speaks and crowds gather. Now religious leaders are questioning his credentials and criticizing his practices. He's got a band of ex-fishermen who are hanging out with him. Jesus has groupies. And at times, they are so busy ministering to people, teaching people, that they don't have time to eat. And the family now is getting really upset. In fact, you can read it in Mark 3:31. But it says, when the family heard about all of this, they went to take charge of him because they said, he's out of his mind. All right, kids, we need to go get your brother Jesus because he is way out here. He's touched in the head. He's been in the sun too long. He's got some grandiose vision. He's got people following him around. Jesus, you're different. You're not in the carpenter shop now. It's not the way that we've known you. Secondly, there's a problem with change. People have a difficult time with change. Change is hard to accept. It's met with suspicion. If there's change, something wrong here. Siren goes off, an alarm sounds. This is different. Should we be concerned? Well, sometimes there are things that are out of the ordinary, and there ought to be red flags that we question. Not all change is good. But you can't have growth without change. You can't evolve as a person without change. You can't continue in walking with God without change and His redemptive process taking place within us. And then there seems to be a hint of jealousy. And you might say, well, why would folks be jealous? I don't know. Here are some thoughts. You've changed, but we haven't. You possess increased wisdom and skills, but we've stayed the same. You speak with more spiritual authority and serve with greater anointing, but there's evidence of multiplied favor upon your life. You've grown, but we've remained the same. We perceive you as uppity, acting superior, out of your social station. Maybe in some way it's threatening. Maybe it causes people to question their own life, and they don't like that. Maybe there's some conviction that they've just been complacent. I don't know. But there at least appears to be a tinge of resentment in the reaction. And number four, there's no room for spiritual evolution. We need to make room for spiritual evolution. And what I mean by that, we need to make room for people to evolve and to emerge into greater dimensions toward their destiny. Demanding that people stay the same because that's the way that we've known them will not only limit them, but it limits us. And did you know that Scripture actually advocates spiritual evolution? Now, before you kick me out, check out this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory, God, the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I really like an older translation which says, we are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. Ever heard that scripture? Amen. From one degree of glory into another. Do you see the movement here? You see how God's redeeming process continues to work, continuing to make us more like Jesus. That means that we're going to be changing and that we're going to be different as we go along. And there are going to be new dimensions of the richness of God that ends up being in our life, and there ends up being these destiny moments. It's the work of God's Spirit in us. It's normal to be changing and developing into greater dimensions of God's character, of His temperament, of skill, ministry skill, serving skill, relational skills, anointing, spiritual authority. And it will lead you to do more and be more than you've ever been. And some who are very close to you are going to react, even maybe oppose. Sometimes it's even family. And attempt to suppress the change. Maybe even be offended. But it's a verifiable move of God in your life.
Yes.
You know, when the dawn of destiny breaks, it is a life point of noticeable change. I'll say that again. If you don't take anything more out of this other than God's Word in this statement tonight, take it home. When the dawn of destiny breaks, it is a life point of noticeable change. And you know, this was the dawn of destiny in Jesus' life. He was born for such a time as this. And He's stepping up in to His destiny. And it means that there's change. And He's not looking like who He used to be. So there were a number of people, very dear people, having difficulty with the newly casted Jesus. And the thing is, Jesus didn't cast Himself. He just didn't do a makeover by His own initiative. This was God calling Him forth into this new dimension.
Yes.
And He's getting ready to fulfill His destiny. He stepped up into the new role, and long-standing relationships are struggling to adjust. They were offended. And the last point of this confining mindset of being typecast, number five, there are confining expectations. There's a ceiling that people put on people. Here's the way I've known you. I don't care what you say God's doing in your life. I don't care what your inspirations are, your aspirations. I expect you to be like you've always been. So pressure gets exerted to keep you conformed and ultimately confined. And we can be confined by the typecast of others. Maybe a greater dimension here is when that begins to be our opinion of ourselves. Here's the way I've been, and I can't be anything more. Now I want to contrast that with what I'm going to call a kingdom mindset, which ought to be the heart of every church. You know, Jesus at his home church, and you saw the reaction there in his home church. So I'm speaking this word to churches that I'm ministering to and saying we ought to be have an environment in our church where people get to emerge and people get to evolve and people get empowered and enriched.
Yes.
And they get to grow up into the fullness of who they are. And that we would embrace then those God changes that begin to take place in their life. And then we've got room for those people, rather than building the ceilings and getting upset by what God is doing then in their lives, because that begins to cast some kind of shadow upon who we are. There's something wrong with that picture. So, the true church of Jesus Christ is a faith community where people are encouraged to emerge and evolve. And it's a spiritual environment where people recognize the greater degrees of glory that's coming upon people's lives. So here are five components, elements of a kingdom environment in a faith community, a church. Number one, we need to embrace spiritual evolution as God's redemptive process. Change is going to be natural. And people ought to be getting richer. And people ought to be getting more glory upon their life. And they ought to be getting kinder. And they ought to be getting to a greater and deeper commitments. They ought to be getting more loving.
Yes.
So we need to embrace the spiritual evolution. That's natural.
Yes. Yes.
And people are going to be more this year than what they were last year. Number two, we see the person for who they're becoming. Oh, that's a key one. And we see the person for who they're becoming. I'm going to have to brag on my pastor, Dave Wainscott. He always sees people for who they're becoming. He is more excited about what God is doing in other people than he's excited about the things that God's doing in his life. In fact, I've got to point out to him some things that God's doing in his life. Because he's just so other-minded about what God is doing. He recognizes that and builds people up so that they can continue just to step higher. So see the person for who they're becoming as opposed to what?
Amen.
Amen. Number three. Growth in wisdom and stature and anointing of celebrity. Hey, I'll tell you what. You see people preaching, strong word, somebody serving in a strong way, that shouldn't threaten us. Well, I say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
There's more Jesus going to get in this church. And there's more Jesus going to get in this community. And there's more Jesus that ends up getting in this world. And praise the Lord, how can we stoke this fire? How can we throw more on it so that it burns brighter? I'll tell you what, I want a whole lot of those people. Why go around and try to put things out? You know? Try to throw some damp blanket on somebody that's getting ignited here. I mean, that's what we ought to have. I'll tell you what, if you get that in your church, things are going to go better. You know, you remember that old story? If the church catches on fire, people are going to come watch it burn. And number four, there's an affirmation for the work that God has done in the individual. We really need each other. I appreciate the heart of your pastor tonight. Like I said, it was such a risk of faith, brother. One hand is like that, and on the other hand, when you're one in the Spirit, you just know when it's right.
Yeah.
And of course, you can give the feedback on the tail end, whether it's right or not. Maybe the jury's still out. The reason that we need each other is because we need the affirmation to see what God's doing in our lives. Hey, you know, you got a real gift here of teaching this, developing. You've got a gift of encouragement, a gift of mercy. You've got a prophetic gift that's developing in your life. We need that kind of affirmation. What does that do? Well, it helps us to further develop.
Sure.
You know? So when you get that kind of encouragement, that begins to take place. If we don't get the encouragement, we kind of say, well, you know, I tried that, but it didn't seem like it made any difference. We need that affirmation. That ends up being part of the environment. And you see how that's different than getting offended?
Oh, yeah.
And then number five, there's receptivity for God's work through the individual. You know what the people missed when they got offended at Jesus? They missed the opportunity to receive what God wanted to bring through the man.
Yeah, right.
Remember how I told you that we have that kind of reaction? It not only confines the other person, but it confines us. And even more than that, it confines God. If there's truth in that, then it would be here. And I believe it is. Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So there wasn't just the limitation and the ceiling that ended up being cast upon Jesus and cast upon the people who were there. There was a limitation of what God could do in the midst. Now, for you this evening, for us this evening, if you kind of come to a place in your life where you're feeling a little stifled and just a little stuck, and sometimes, even in some ways that we may not be aware of, that we have felt the ceilings that have been cast upon us. Sometimes it's been by family members who maybe didn't understand what the Lord was doing with us. Sometimes it's been, unfortunately, even in the church. Sometimes it's just been with some of the ways the enemy has come against us and told us lies. But that kind of stuff has gotten in our heads. And we've begun to believe it about ourselves. I will only be what I've been. I bump against the ceiling and I've sat down. Well, this evening, I believe the Lord wants to give us a breakthrough. You know, this message can just take it for what it is, be an encouragement. Lift you up and you'll keep traveling through those other stages, seasons, development for you from one degree of glory to another. But this evening, you say, you know, I haven't been seeing any of those other dimensions. I feel like I've just been typecast, stuck where I'm at. I believe the Lord wants to break that off of me today. So however that applies to you, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you just to stand. And I'm going to pray for you. And then at the end of that prayer, I'm going to ask for a response. And so, praise team, if you can come up. Brother here, sister, going to kind of lead us in a closing song for ministry time or prayer time, and certainly turn it back over to the pastor. Always honor the pastor in the house. He's the one who has spiritual authority here. I'm just a guest. I want to pray for you.
And then let's see how the Lord wants to minister to our hearts. Would you pray with me? Father, so many times we are just, we're amazed at the things that you begin to reveal. How that you use your word to point out some places and some reactions maybe of other people. And how that those become hindrances and barriers for us. And how that it confines our evolving and emerging. So this evening, Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, just to come and to lift the lids, to crush the ceilings, to break us out, because you have so much more. And you see so much more in us than what we've seen and what others have seen. And this evening, Lord, we're going to take a step of faith just to trust that you're going to carry us on. And when we say yes to you this evening, that there's a fire that starts again. There's some inspiration and there's some initiative. We get back becoming and moving from one degree of glory to another. If that's your heart tonight, I want you just to lift your hand. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I just pray right now for those who've lifted their hands and for others who are continuing to think and weigh this message and your word and your spirit right now in their hearts. And I just pray right now for those ceilings to be dashed, those lies to be dismissed, those opinions of other people and those that are false even within ourselves, that those just come under the blood of Jesus. And that tonight, Lord, that we are set free to run the path again. That God, we welcome you to bring your transformation. We welcome your redemptive process, the way that your Holy Spirit continues to move through us and in fullness that we can become all that we can be in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we say no to all of those notions that have been false. And we say yes to the one who leads us on. In the name of Jesus.